This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Thank you for joining us. Today we're going to be talking about energy. We're going to talk about energy information. I don't think many people know this, and we're going to try to change this today. But there's an agency out there that's focused in on providing energy information, and it's called the Energy Information Administration. And we're going to be talking about their mission, what they do, the work they do, the products and services they provide, and everything else about that. We have in the studio with me Howard K. Gruenspecht. Is that right, Howard?
That's correct.
All right. He's a deputy administrator, the acting assistant administrator. Well, he's got a long title. He's got a lot of different things going on.
Right.
But he's a deputy administrator of the Energy Information Administration, EIA, of Department of Energy. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you for having me here.
Hey, well, you know what? A lot of people don't know about it. I didn't know about it until maybe one of your public affairs people kind of, you know, clued me in on it, and about the Energy Information Agency, or administration, I should say. What do you guys do? I mean, what's the purpose of this agency?
Well, the Energy Information Administration is the statistical and analytical agency within the U.S. Department of Energy. We collect, analyze, and disseminate independent and impartial energy information to promote sound policymaking, efficient markets, and public understanding of energy and its interaction with the economy and the environment. We're the nation's premier source of energy information, and by law, our data analyses and forecasts are independent of approval by any other officer or employee of the U.S. government.
That's a handful right there.
It is.
You know, looking at your site, you guys got a lot of good stuff going on in terms of, you know, the mission you're doing. I look at here and I was really impressed when I kind of, you know, you guys produce a lot of different reports that deal with, you know, everything from analysis on petroleum, natural gas. Give us a breakdown in terms of the products and services that you guys kind of provide to and who are the consumers? I mean, who are some of the people who utilize some of the things you do?
Well, That's actually a long question, and I'll give you a long answer. I'd say that most of the Energy Information Administration's resources are devoted to energy data collection, including the weekly oil inventory and natural gas storage data that many of you might hear about when it's released each week, and also a wide range of monthly and annual data on all energy sources and fuels at both the state and national level. We also collect data on energy use and energy using equipment from a sample of residential and commercial buildings, energy use in manufacturing. And the reason we do this is to help establish baselines and measure performance of programs to increase energy efficiency. In addition to our data programs, we provide forecasts and projections of the energy system, and we do various types of analyses for a wide range of customers.
Okay. When we kind of talk about these customers, is it everybody from Congress? Is it everybody from the private sector? Is it, you know, people from the nonprofit sector who deals with energy? I mean, who are the people who's taking this, you know, these stats and all these other kind of things and using them?
Well, there's no question that Congress and the other agencies in the administration are very important customers of ours. But as you suggest, energy producers care about this work. The financial community cares about it a lot. Energy consumers care about it. Journalists often come to us for independent and impartial energy information. We even have a lot of robots that robotic programs that hit our website at the time of key information releases.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, there may be markets that will respond to that information when it's released.
You guys, I'm assuming, you know, you take no partisan. You don't, you know, try to, you just guys give more just the facts about what's going on with energy at any particular time. And so, you know, with all this, I mean, like, you know, petroleum, and you got the coal and news market reports. I mean, what are you breaking down? Like, if, you know, if a person went in and looked at This Week in Petroleum, what would they find there? I mean, is it a breakdown of what?
Well, it's a breakdown, and This Week in Petroleum would talk a little bit about the latest inventory data, the latest prices, how the stocks of various petroleum products stand relative to where they stood at this time over the past 5 years. So it's the kind of information that participants in the energy markets would want to know about. We have truckers who come to us for information about diesel prices. In some cases, the contracts that they engage in have adjustment clauses depending on the level of diesel fuel prices. So that's a popular product. You know, one of the challenges we face is the need to respond to very different demands. So even if someone wants to know about natural gas, the people in the producers of natural gas might be interested in very detailed, very complex data. Journalists might be interested in a broader overview. Environmentalists might be interested in how the growth of natural gas production that's been going on is interacting with the environment. And I think the trick is to try to design our site so that different audiences can find what they need about a given subject. And again, we're dealing with a lot of different audiences, but Congress and the other federal agencies, certainly very important. The public at large is very important.
Definitely.
We really want to drive the national conversation about energy. It's such an important issue.
You know, you guys have some conferences, an annual conference that you do on energy and everything else. Where is the national, I mean, you know, kind of giving a segue of just what you just said, where is the national conversation going? I mean, is it going in the dynamic of, you know, we hear a lot of things on in commercials about, you know, electrical cars and all these other areas. I mean, what are you seeing? What are the trends in terms of energy in the conversation?
Well, there's a lot going on in the energy sphere, as you suggest. Sometimes the conversation on certain issues gets a little ahead of where the market is right now, but the market is changing. And indeed, one of the challenges we face.
When you say where the market is, meaning that the technology is not there?
I think the technologies are coming in many cases. I mean, certainly there's been tremendous growth in renewable energy in the country, non-hydro renewable energy in particular, wind over the past few years. But again, it's important to put some of these things in context. We still do rely mostly on fossil fuels. I think last year fossil fuels, oil, natural gas, and coal provided 83% of our total energy use. We're using more renewables, certainly in the transportation sector as well. Some of the mandates for biofuels, renewable fuels, are coming in, impacting policy. Some of the efficiency policies are impacting projected demand. So there are some changes occurring. It's important for us to keep up with those changes, but it's also important to recognize, you know, where we are today and where, even understanding where different fuels are used. So, for instance, petroleum is our most significant fuel, but we use very little petroleum in generating electricity. We use a lot of petroleum in the transportation sector.
Right.
We use a variety of fuels to generate electricity. We use coal. We use natural gas. We use nuclear and increasingly renewables. So, again, it's understanding where you are is pretty important to understanding where you're trying to go.
Are we trying to get, I mean, kind of, you know, because you guys look at the stats all the time, and you know, are you guys trying to get to a point, or is our conversation trying to get to the point where we're saying, hey, listen, you know, we want to use more solar? I mean, is there any kind of energy cycle that people are demanding more, or are we going to always be a society that's kind of split up into a number of different energy sources?
Well, I mean, there's certainly a strong discussion going on about what we should be doing. EIA itself, the Energy Information Administration, doesn't promote, formulate, or take positions on policy issues, so what fuels we should be using for what. But our data programs have direct relevant to many policy issues.
And like what? I mean,
well, like, for example, in considering policies to reduce energy-related emissions of greenhouse gases, this was something that was passed in the House in the current Congress in the first session. It was very contentious in the Senate. It ultimately didn't pass. But yet it's important policymakers want to know how the level and mix of energy use varies across regions of the country and across individual states. Again, beyond our data programs, we develop energy outlooks and we provide policy analyses at the request of Congress and the administration. The explicit...
And so are like the congressional staff, are they, taking your data? And then and we'll probably have to answer this after the break, but are they taking your data and then kind of crunching it down and kind of saying, based on your outlook, based on your projections, this is where we should take energy policy for the country?
I think you'll find that happening a lot, yes.
Okay. We have with me Howard Gruenspeck. He's a deputy administrator of the Energy Information Administration from Department of Energy. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
When the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency says it's ramping up a new transformer program, they're not talking about transferring AC to DC. They mean transformers like the toys turned movie heroes. Only in the case of DARPA, it's flying cars they're building. Their transformer program will attempt to combine the advantages of ground vehicles and helicopters into a single vehicle. Six vendors will participate in a 12-month-long effort to develop a robust ground vehicle that can transform into an air vehicle that can take off and land vertically. The vehicle will have to be able to travel 250 nautical miles on land or air, or a combination, without a dedicated pilot while carrying 1,000 pounds. The benefits to warfighters would be numerous, including quicker medical evacuations.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
How is the New York City Department of Environmental Protection using innovation to protect, collect, and deliver water to over 8 million people? What about the city's efforts to be greener and make its operation more sustainable? And how is New York City ensuring its water system is viable for the next 100 years? Listen next week as these topics and more will be explored with Cass Holloway, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Environmental Protection. Join host Michael Keegan next week on the Business of Government Hour.
HalfPriceDC.com. Half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy half-price gift certificates to Studio 355 Hair and Day Spa. Award-winning stylists combine cutting-edge style with relaxation.
Sur La Place, in the Palisades area of D.C., this Belgian fine dining gem boasts over 20 types of mussels and a unique beverage list. And Kebabji Grill off of DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C., serving fresh, healthy, and authentic Lebanese cuisine.
See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
What if I said you had the power to speak Chinese or to dream in French? What if you could even read in Italian? You'd be skeptical, right? What if I could prove it to you with a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone, one that unlocks your ability to learn any language on Earth? Introducing the all-new, more powerful Rosetta Stone, the only language learning program that literally awakens your natural ability. And for the first time ever, they're inviting you to experience their groundbreaking program, absolutely free, with a free demo CD-ROM. Call 1-800-600-6621 and request yours. Developed around the way you naturally think and learn, Rosetta Stone teaches you your new language with the tools you already have. And now you can experience it for free. Awaken your natural language learning ability today with a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. Call 1-800-600-6621 and request yours. Rosetta Stone, your natural ability awakened. That's 1-800-600-6621.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having a real interesting conversation about energy and energy information. And I have with me a unique agency that maybe many people didn't know about, but they'll know about today, called the Energy Information Administration. And I have with me Howard K. Gruenspeck. He's the Deputy Administrator of the Energy Information Administration from the Department of Energy. And we're talking about what they do, their mission. Howard, we were talking about energy policy, and how your agency, in terms of the products and services and the outlooks mm-hmm. that you guys produce, how it affects energy policy and where we're going in the country. Continue on with what we were talking about.
Well, thanks for having me on, Derek. I appreciate it. Again, we don't promote, formulate, or take positions on policy issues, but our work does influence the policy process. And certainly a lot of the folks on the Hill, the staff, even some of the members I've had calls from, you know, they look at our website, which has quite a lot of information.
It definitely does.
www.eia.gov.
That's right. www.eia.gov.
And, you know, they will look again at the level and mix of energy use across regions of the country and individual states. I think a lot of energy policy and energy issues are, they're not partisan. A lot of them are regional, actually, sure, because there's different energy patterns, different energy prices, different fuel sources for electricity throughout the country. So we'll get a lot of questions from the Hill. Beyond our data program, we develop energy outlooks and provide policy analyses at the request of Congress and the administration. So they're asking us questions. What if we did X? How would that change the outlook?
Right.
And this explicit mission to provide forecasts and projections really differs from that of most other statistical agencies. Okay. We are one of 14 principal, let's call it principal federal statistical agencies, mm-hmm, the largest of which is the Census Bureau that came knocking at everyone's door this year,
right.
Or at least knocking on everyone's mailbox. And if you didn't answer, they came knocking at your door.
Exactly.
So there are 14 of us all together, and we're sort of in the middle of the pack. But with energy being a very prominent issue, you know, people are coming to us. But most of those agencies don't do forward-looking forecasts or analyses or what-if type of work. So we're pretty unique that way. And part of that is the way we were set up in the wake, actually. I think it was policy developments that led to the establishment of EIA.
So what is the history?
I mean, well, the history was in the wake of the oil shocks in the 1970s. Unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember them well. And I think Congress was very concerned that they needed to go to the industry to get information about some of the things that were a concern at the time.
Could have been slanting the information.
And there was a concern that maybe the information was not impartial and independent.
Sure.
And because of that, when the Department of Energy was set up in the 1970s, an Energy Information Administration was established. There had been sort of a precursor agency as part of the Federal Energy Administration, but the very strong independence with regard to our work is something that I think Congress, you know, and the president wanted, and that was actually written into law. So our products go directly forward without a lot of intergovernmental review, and that's a nice feature.
Yeah, definitely.
Less long nights on the phone with OMB than I've had in other government positions in my life.
Well, you had to have some oversight and things like that. Well, let me ask this, because you know, you mentioned about census in terms of collecting information. I mean, you guys collect information on a lot of different areas, petroleum and natural gas and everything else. I mean, how do you go about doing that? I mean, are you going out and reaching out to the industry providers? I mean,
We have a wide-ranging program, but data collection, we are literally going out to electric companies, to oil refiners, to producers, to natural gas well operators, and literally reaching out. And one of the challenges—
Is there a mandate for them to—
There is a mandate for them to respond.
Okay.
The responses from the energy suppliers— is a mandatory requirement that was put in place, and we generally get very, very good cooperation. So it's a strong program. We have strong authorities. The administrator of the agency, who is presidentially appointed and Senate confirmed, really has a lot of freedom to set the direction of this program. And one of the things that happens is that the needs change over time. So, for example, there used to be very little renewable fuels in motor gasoline. Now, with some of the recent mandates, some of the incentives, there's a lot more renewable fuels in gasoline. So we've started collecting data on ethanol on a monthly and a weekly basis in a lot more detail than we did before. You know, it used to be 1 billion gallons out of 140 billion gallons a year. Right. Now we're talking, you know, above 10 and rising.
Right.
So things change over time in the energy sector, where when we redo our electricity forms, we are going to collect more information about smart grid technologies, smart meters, other smart grid technologies on the transmission system, right, because things are changing. We took over the responsibility of the weekly inventory of natural gas, which is something that's very closely watched, because the folks in the private sector who were doing it before found that it was sort of too hot to handle, in the sense that they, if they made a mistake, someone might say, gee, I lost a lot of money trading gas because of your mistake, and I'm coming after you.
Right.
So they said, gee, we can't do that anymore.
Right.
And because of that, the Secretary of Energy jumped in and said, this has to be done. The people who were doing it feel that they can't do it anymore. We want energy information.
Do you get calls from, like, stockbrokers or people in the investment banks about, I mean, who handle?
Well, the stockbrokers and investment banks, those are the people who sick the robots on our website.
Okay.
They don't want to get a call, because by the time the phone rings, the market has already moved.
Right.
So they are literally pinging our website continually at 10:30 on Wednesdays and 10:30 on Thursdays, when some of our key data is released.
Right.
And you know, they really want to get this information in less than a second.
Wow.
So it's an interesting time. Other agencies also use, you know, the things that we do. So, for example, it's not just the Congress. In the current work on fuel economy standards, the Department of Transportation and the Environmental Protection Agency are using our projections on oil prices and vehicle miles of travel, you know, in assessing options. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve, they will use our projections of oil use and oil imports to assess how many days of oil imports can be covered by the oil in the Strategic Reserve, which is one of the indicators that they need to track. So,
and
again,
energy's becoming a lot more of a national security issue. I mean, do you have a lot more of the, you know, those from the national security, you know, in, you know, sector, you know, looking at your data as well?
We definitely talk with other agencies that are involved in national security about energy issues. You know, we are certainly a source, I guess,
sure,
to those agencies, as
right,
well as to the public, as well as to the Congress. And, you know, we do work closely with them.
With, you know, you mentioned that you have people who are going out. I mean, is there basically somebody from EIA almost in every 50 states and
no,
you go out?
No, we don't really go out. We go out electronically. We are doing a lot in addition to all of the data that, you know, using the internet, again, our www.eia.gov, where really is the primary dissemination channel for our information. We also make use of the internet for collection of data. So we have all our respondents who are responding on, in some cases weekly, in some cases monthly, in some cases quarterly, in some cases annual cycles. A lot of that data is collected electronically. I should point out that we focus so far in describing that process on the sort of the supply side data. We also do go out and try to look at the uses of energy, which are particularly important as the policy world and people at large think about energy efficiency. So there's another type of energy survey that we do, which is only every 4 years. We go to a sample of commercial buildings, a sample of households, and we literally people go out to the field, do actually visit the site.
Okay.
Those are not federal employees. That's done under contract. But we run those surveys.
Out.
We design those surveys, go out, try to understand what's happening with energy use in households, what's happening with energy use in office buildings and hospitals and schools. We also work with the Census Bureau to find out what's happening with energy use in manufacturing. And you know, that's an area where we're placing some increasing emphasis on over time. So we're interested not only in the supply where the energy is coming from.
But also the use.
But also the use.
Yeah. We're talking about the Energy Information Administration under the Department of Energy. And I have with me Howard K. Gruenspeck. He's a deputy administrator of this agency. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Tradition never graduates, so make your plans with family and friends to spend the day in Annapolis with Navy football for homecoming Saturday, October 30th at 3:30 p.m. Cheer on the midshipmen in the Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium as they hit the gridiron against the Duke Blue Devils. Presented by SAIC, USAA, and Verizon Wireless. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com. Order today and join us for a game day atmosphere like no other. Enjoy fall in Annapolis with friends and family and see quarterback Ricky Dobbs lead the midshipmen as they take on Duke Saturday, October 30th at 3:30. Presented by SAIC, USAA, and Verizon Wireless. Don't miss out on all the Navy football excitement, where tradition never graduates. Order your tickets today. Call 1-800-US-4-NAVY or visit NavySports.com. That's 1-800-US-4-NAVY or NavySports.com.
Have you delayed putting together an estate plan? Your retirement savings, insurance policies, and real estate are all part of your assets. If you or your partner should ever become incapacitated, who will handle the financial or medical decisions? And how do you want those assets distributed? Hi, I'm Wayne Zell of Zell Law and host of Blueprint for Wealth Saturdays at 10 a.m. Find out how you can better secure your future this Saturday or call me at Zell Law at 571-203-9355 or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about energy, and we've been talking about energy information, the use of energy information. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. We hear about energy all the time, and there's an agency whose sole purpose is to collect and to process and to analyze this information and then disseminate it out to the public and other kind of stakeholders, congressional and everything else. We're talking about the Energy Information Administration. They're from Department of Energy, and I have the deputy administrator sitting right across from me. He's Howard K. Gruenspeck. And Howard, we've been having this real good conversation. You've been enlightening me on what EIA does, and people can find their site at www.eia.gov. But we were talking about this survey where you guys are not only, you know, getting the information from suppliers, but now going to the users and seeing how users utilize various energy sources. Is that, I mean, every 4 years, is there kind of talk about saying, hey, listen, we need to do this a little bit more to kind of find out how people are using energy so we can maybe start mapping out the future?
Well, that is a good question. Thank you very much. There is increasing interest, again, in energy efficiency. Some people call it the fifth fuel, or some people even call it the first fuel. So, and because of that, it's real important to understand the baseline, where we're starting from. And in fact, the Department of Energy made a decision to use some of the stimulus money to support an increase in the sample size of our residential energy consumption survey, which actually was completed, or the field work was completed earlier this year. We had over 500 contractors out in the field collecting this information. We tripled the sample size of that survey. Because of that, you know, we've been able to get statistically appropriate data for a much larger number of individual states, so we can say more about what's going on in each state,
right,
as opposed to just the census regions and the census subregions.
And I'm assuming you're probably working with state and local agencies as well, getting information from them.
I think state and local agencies are quite interested in this information as they sort of benchmark their own programs. There are a lot of programs in the energy area going on under the stimulus program. They're not run by the Energy Information Administration. They're run by other parts of the department, but there are a lot of work in weatherization and energy efficiency. There's a lot of work on smart grid. And the real question is, what what difference is it going to make? And one of the ways you figure out what difference it's making is you try to figure out where you were before those investments were made.
Exactly.
And then you look at where you are afterwards. So there is interest in that on the commercial buildings, the office buildings, the schools, the hospitals, the police stations, all kinds of buildings. The administration, and I mean the big administration, not the Energy Information Administration, had proposed, an increase in the budget for some of those programs because, again, they would like more information broken down at the finer level. So not just information about schools, but information about primary, secondary school buildings, preschool, which are very different energy uses. Not just office buildings, but there's a lot of interest in energy use in federal office buildings, as those of us who are struggling with a big issue and there's actually an executive order out, asking federal agencies to improve their use. Yeah. So again, there is a sense in which this information and a focus on energy consumption and energy efficiency in the work of the EIA is assuming greater importance, and that's both in the collection of data and also in the extent to which we do analysis and modeling of energy consumption and energy efficiency.
You know, as I'm thinking about what we do, I'm also thinking about the kind of the global picture. Whether it be France or whether it be, things going on in China. Does your administration, does EIA, are you also looking kind of overseas to see, who are some of the people who are doing revolutionary type things with energy? I mean, are you kind of monitoring those things as well?
Well, we are looking a little bit. I must say we do spend most of our attention, on the United States, mm-hmm. but we do look overseas as well. We have an international energy outlook, which is not as elaborate as what we do for the United States, but we do look hard at energy use in the rest of the world. We do have a lot of data on energy use, in the rest of the world on our website. We don't collect all of that data. Sure. There we are acting more as a service to disseminate the information again. And again, there's a lot of interest in this on the Hill, among the public, on other things. But it's pretty clear that we see the developing countries as the primary source of growth in energy use throughout the world. They've got a lot of catching up to do as incomes grow in places like China and India. There's an expectation that people will want more of the types of things that we all take for granted here. There'll be more personal transportation, more vehicles, more appliances, more of everything, and that will translate into energy use. So we are looking overseas.
Right.
It's important, and many of the energy markets are, particularly the oil market, is a global market. So again, how fast demand is growing in the rest of the world has very large implications for us.
On us, without question.
So
you guys went through this reorganization. What was going on? I mean, what was the purpose for EIA's reorganization? Was it to what you kind of talked about earlier? Was it to meet the new demands? I mean, bringing on maybe a new team or new segments of the organization?
Well, reorganization is always a touchy subject among government employees. Yeah. EIA has actually been a very, very stable organization and has not, gone through almost continuous reorganization. Which
like
is something
year,
that does happen
years, right?
in some other agencies where I've worked, so I don't
sure.
want to give you the wrong impression. But EIA was structured largely, I think, as a fuel-centric organization. So we had an office of oil and gas. We had an office of coal, nuclear, and electricity. So it was oriented around fuels. And we had both data programs and analysis programs in the fuel offices. And the realignment that's recently taken place has aligned the organizational structure with our primary functional areas, which are statistics, analysis, communication, and management. So the idea, I think, is to enhance the quality of our current product line and drive innovations in our products and internal operations. We want to improve the coverage, quality, and integration of energy statistics. We want to increase the relevance and breadth of our energy analysis. We want to enhance the communication of EIA's work to diverse audiences. And, you know, sometimes you could think of EIA like a, well, like a museum, say, and maybe we have some great works of art, you know, in the basement that people don't get to see.
Right.
And the object is one of the things we can do to really leverage our value, you know, on things we're already doing is to make sure that people are aware. One of the reasons I'm here, that the material is accessible, that it's available in sort of flexible ways to meet the needs of different groups.
Do you try to make it in more layman's terms? You know, I mean, if you want the consumer, kind of the regular average person, I mean, I know this is sometimes complex information, but is it also, you know, do you, when you kind of talking to your team, do you say, listen, we need to make this in a way that people can understand it, no matter what the consumer is?
Well, it is it is a very interesting question because, again, the 'cause there is no one typical consumer. So, you know, if I sometimes, so there are some consumers, the real wonks, who are important consumers for us,
right,
who really want everything. They want every bit of gory
data.
Detail,
yeah.
The hardcore, you know, give it to me, let me use it, let me feel it all,
right.
let me play with it.
Right.
And then
let
there are other people who,
and
it reminds me of the, one of the Raiders of the Lost Ark movies, the Search for the Holy Grail, where Indiana Jones comes to a table with 47 goblets on it, and only one of them is the right goblet. And, you know, so for people who are less well-informed, you know, some people want the 48 goblets.
Right.
And some people, you know, if you give them, put 48 goblets in front of them, the chances are 47 out of 48, they'll pick the wrong one.
Right.
And so that's a real problem. So you need, you know, what I think we're trying to do, and we've put a lot of effort into communications, is to try to provide different products for different audiences. And again, we're not hiding anything from anybody, but the object is to provide a way for the user to self-select what they need. And so we started products like Energy Explained, which is a product that I think, you know, again, very intelligent users, but people who are not steeped in a particular area can use. And it's quite interesting. We had some discussions with some of our customers on the congressional staff a while back, and we found that a lot of them were telling us they were using Energy Kids because they needed. And one of the reasons we thought, gee, you know, this indicates that, you know, there is a value of this overview information, and we had been thinking of it as, you know, just energy basics just for kids. But more and more, we've recognized that, you know, adults need this stuff, too, so they don't have to feel bad about getting in line. And we've started products like Energy Explained, products like Energy in Brief. So I think our approach is to pursue multiple, you know, ways of reaching the different audiences we're trying to reach.
And tell us about Energy Kids, because, I mean, what it sounds like, you're trying to basically educate the next generation so that they will know about more efficient energy use.
Well,
is that what Energy Kids is about?
We want them to know about efficiency, but we want them to know about the different fuels and their you know, how we use them and how much of each type we use. And we want to provide information that teachers can use. But again, it's all very, you know, we're not pushing a particular agenda in line with our role as a federal statistical agency. We're separate from the policy process, right. So we're not telling people what they should do. But again, we're trying to make sure people have a sense of some of
what
the
what may be best for your community, may be best for your building, what may be best for your hospital.
Right. What may work, and understand that, you know, where does our oil come from? I mean, people have views about that. Like, I'll ask you, what's the largest source of our imported oil? All right, I won't. I'll give you a hard time. But a lot of people, I don't know what people would say. It's hard to judge. But it turns out that the answer is Canada. So, you know, some people might imagine a country in the Middle East, perhaps, as a source. So, again, it's just, it's not that having information about energy is necessarily going to lead everyone to have agreement about what we should do or what we shouldn't do. But the idea is having a common accepted information base at least helps people get off on the same foot.
We're talking about the Energy Information Administration. We have in the studio Howard K. Gruenspeck, and he's the Deputy Administrator, Department of Energy, Energy Information Administration. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit myvillagegreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Garden of Life and Himalaya Herbal Healthcare.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity, we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to Dell.com/deliver now.
Here's Kevin Kamscher, Director of High Performance Buildings, GSA, on the Federal Executive Forum on the greening of government, sponsored by CA Technologies.
We're headed towards a zero environmental footprint. Okay. And we use environmental footprint because we want to make sure that we're measuring the waste and the water as well. It's going to be a metrics-based future where we really understand things like the fact that in most office buildings in the United States today, every spot is empty 50% of the time.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to FederalNewsRadio.com.
Energy, water, waste, carbon. Whether you need to deliver on your strategic sustainability performance plan or reduce costs as part of your data center consolidation initiative, managing environmental performance presents challenges for all federal agencies. CA Eco Software can help you execute against your sustainability plan and improve the efficiency of your data center. To learn more, visit CA Technologies at ca.com/ecosoftware.
Here's Michael Byrne, Geographic Information Officer for the FCC, from the panel discussion on Big Data, the Art of Advanced Analytics.
We need to really think about the design function to be at nanoscale across all data sets. So it's inordinately precise spatially, inordinately precise temporally, or at least allow the flexibility for that to happen, because no matter what product we start looking at, the first thing I always hear is, oh, that's a great data set, could it do this? And that next this is always at least the next scale up, either spatially or temporally.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
While knowledge discovery within the cloud is immensely powerful, big data is more than just a discussion of technology. It's a discussion of what can be accomplished when massive data and cloud efficiencies combine to make advanced analysis and innovation possible. Booz Allen Hamilton has been at the forefront in understanding, developing, adapting, and upgrading effective tools and processes so government agencies can use this technology effectively and efficiently. Booz Allen is ready for what's next. Learn more at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I have with me the Deputy Administrator of the Energy Information Administration, Howard K. Gruenspeck. And Howard, we've been talking about this. I want to touch on this real quick because this is really, really important. You guys have got some critical job openings right now. I mean, for an agency that a lot of people don't know about, you've got several openings that are critical. What's going on with there?
Well, we do. We have actually five senior executive service positions open right now. Again, we have two assistant administrator positions. We have an assistant administrator for communications. We have an assistant administrator for resources and technology management, and that position involves HR, human resources. Don't talk in acronyms, probably a good idea. It involves procurement. It involves budget and planning. It involves our IT infrastructure. We've got about 700 folks, you know, with desktops and a lot of servers. And again, we collect and disseminate information through
using our information path.
So we've got a lot there, and that's a big job. We have several positions involving energy analysis. We have a director of an Office of Energy Consumption and Efficiency Analysis. And again, Derek, in our earlier discussion, I indicated that this is an area where we want to beef up our team. Again, we have several other office director positions, again, at the senior executive service level. Again, we have on our website, obviously these are all through USA Jobs, as all federal hiring is, but if one would go to the EIA website at www.eia.gov, you'd be able to click on our career page and you'd at least, you know, get a look at all of our positions. We have positions at lower levels as well. I mean, or even at relatively high lower levels. So we have a lot of 15 and 14 level positions. We have our sort of more entry level type positions that we really do hire on a regular basis. I should point out that this is an agency of about 370 employees. You know,
are you increasing that number? Is that number
it's
growing?
Increasing a little bit, but the main issue is that, as I suggested earlier in one of the earlier segments, the agency was set up in the late 1970s, and for those who are fortunate enough to be in the old federal retirement system, which I am not, you do find a lot of people leaving after 30 or 35 years of service. And in fact, when the agency was set up, we had a lot of new employees, so you know, we have a significant turnover, a lot of important skills that, you know, unfortunately for us are going out the door. But, you know, one person's problem is another person's opportunity. Right. So exactly. We're looking for skills coming in.
You know, a lot of people will ask, and you came out of, you haven't been at EIA the whole time. You've only been there for some years now. But a lot of people, you know, I always get this question. Well, are some of these jobs, you know, already fixed for somebody? What I'm hearing is that, you know, these jobs are really open. You're looking for people who may be in the industry, who know some, who have a strong skill set on some things. And you're really looking for people to apply who, if you're well qualified.
I mean, the jobs are open, really. And in fact, we've made efforts. We've reached out, done more than post them on USA Jobs. We've, actually have some, I think we've gone out to Monster and Career Builder. We've had ads in the papers. We've gone out to associations. We've tried to reach out. You know, some of the areas require a lot of energy. You know, energy knowledge would be important. Some of them less so. For instance, the resource and technology management, that's a function that goes on throughout the government. Communications, IT. We have again, one of the initiatives, and I think we're going to run out of time, but one of the things we've started to do, you know, Congress has asked in the wake of the run-up in oil prices that occurred, I think it's a memory, I think they peaked in the summer of 2008, but there's a lot of interest in the relationship of energy and financial markets. And Administrator Newell, who came in August of 2009, he is really made this a signature initiative. So we're trying to hire, you know, we obviously have lots of people who have expert in sort of the fundamentals of the oil market, oil stocks, oil inventory, oil production. But now there's an increasing interest on people who have information about the interaction of oil markets with and natural gas markets with other commodity markets and financial markets. So there's a whole set of skills there. We're looking very hard. Congress has a big interest, and we have a big interest on the interaction of energy and the economy. So we have a number of senior macroeconomic positions that we're trying to fill. Wow. And so, yes, I mean, in some cases, energy knowledge would be important. But again, energy knowledge certainly exists outside of EIA, and all these other areas are also very important. And we are really an open and I think a very very good place to work. We have a good environment. We have, again, the administrator, who's a an excellent academic with an excellent reputation and extremely high level of impartiality and integrity, but in fact, he is the only political appointee in EIA. It's an agency of career federal employees. It's not permeated with Schedule C employees, and that's appropriate as a statistical agency.
Right. It provides a level of stability and also provides people to be able to do their jobs without being worried about moving every 4 years or so.
Moving every 4 years, right.
On that note, last 30 seconds, you know, where do you think in terms of energy is headed? You've been in this business for a long time. Where are we headed as we kind of close up?
Well, I think we're going to continue to be surprised about, you can't anticipate all the developments, all the breakthroughs. On the other hand, a lot of things do move pretty slowly, and I think the energy picture will not change in a day. And there's a lot of interesting work ahead of us, and I think there will be for a long time. So let me leave it there.
All right. Deputy Administrator of the Energy Information Administration of the Department of Energy, Howard K. Gruenspecht. Thank you so much, Howard, for coming on Fed Access. It was a great conversation.
And thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED. Your source for federal news now.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
Take down the websites used by extremists. British Minister of Security Pauline Neville-Jones called on the U.S. to do just that during a speech at the Brookings Institution. She also urged the U.S. to do more to stop militant threats without going to war. Neville-Jones pointed out, in her own words, Al-Qaeda's leaders in Pakistan have shown startling resilience, and their affiliates have both the intent and capability to strike the West. I'm J.J. Green.
When you fly over the North Pole, do you ever think about how remote you are? Airink does, and that's why they have it covered. They're the only company in the world that provides high-frequency data links so that pilots can always communicate with someone on the ground. Airink ensures you're never alone at 35,000 feet. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and Dell. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
HalfPriceDC.com. Half Price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy Half Price gift certificates to Function, the first fit bar in America, offering artfully prepared dishes that are low in calories and rich in nutrients.
Ballet Vietnamese Food and Deli in Rockville. Delicious food and great customer service at affordable prices. And Tutto Bene in Arlington. Experience the authentic taste of traditional Italian cuisine.
See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost $250,000 that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy, it works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-500-2884. For your free CD, call 1-800-500-2884. 1-800-500-2884.